Last time on Wanderlust.
I mean, best I can describe it, it was a beetle. But the thing was 7 foot tall.
Oh.
Yeah, I managed to, I think, kill it. I don't know. I hit it in the head and I think it's out. And she said that there's been a lot of them in a lot of the buildings around. But this is the biggest one she'd seen. I was thinking maybe I could do something with the shell. I don't know. The thing was like as hard as iron.
So, like, it is specifically not camouflaged, too big, and doesn't seem to have a source of food. It is weird that it is here. These things just went like, thunk, and just smashed through the roof and just started building nests.
So big, heavy, and came from a high height.
I was wondering, if you guys were going to go out there again, would you want me to make you, like, some tools or something? I can make us stuff to make our trips out there easier.
For at least a little bit, I need to stay here, especially with Matthew healing. Not that I don't want to go back out and take a look around and learn about what that was, but I think for a bit, I'm needed here. Everything seems okay with them. They're over on the coast, though, and this seemed to hit harder in Old Town and, like, the market from everything I've seen.
Wait, isn't that where you live, Estelle?
Yes.
Do you have a place to stay then? Or is your house still there?
I'm figuring that out right now. My vet office in Old Town is still standing. I would stay there to be closer to Matthew. So I think Estelle, like, you know, sets it up as if she's just camping in there. The longer she lays there, it's like very weird to not have anybody nearby.
You dream of a storm as you kind of, like, feel yourself, like, twitching in your sleep, you know? And then you feel yourself back in the wilds, like, the earthy smell and the rustling of all the leaves and all the animals all at once, and that all kind of, like, coalesces into the sound of this rustling leaves and a figure standing up from the gloom at night in the forest.
There is change coming, but I think it is you.
Estelle, what are you doing here?
Hey,
sorry, I just woke up.
I'm really sorry. I just, would it be all right if I just kip on your floor for the night?
And then a note slides under your door.
No.
Were you expecting something?
Decidedly no.
And then it just says, the Wild Watchers.
If they're who I think they are, they're kind of like a bunch of kooks, so...
Oh.
You can see, like, an entire forest in your mind's eye blossoming from this cut in your hand as you're just staring and staring and staring and then jerk awake. The sun hasn't quite come up, you know, over the horizon. Smoky Banks right now is living up to its name of being very smoky. There's like a fine rainy mist over the gardens that are just beginning to kind of turn gray in the light of morning. So, you know that eventually it's going to be this massive, colorful garden. But right now, Smoky Banks is just in the dim light where you can't quite see color yet. And Juliet and Estelle wake up in her apartment, having been given that note to meet with the Wild Watchers.
Right. You ready to go meet these guys?
I as ready as I'm going to be. I admit, curiosity has gotten the best of me.
You know, I'll be curious to see if Autumn and Fred got a note as well.
True.
Since, you know, obviously they were out with us, but, do you think we should go get them?
Yeah, probably. Just good to have more numbers, right? At the very least. We don't know what these people are like.
Well, I mean, they are a little crazy. But I think, more people to talk is always good. And Estelle, like, reaches for the door and opens it.
Autumn's standing there about to knock. Oh, hey, now that you're up, great. I thought we were going to work out, but I realize now I probably should have mentioned when we were going to start, Juliet.
Oh, that's right. Well,
is Estelle weren't you? You were sleeping in the Warrens?
No, not the Warrens. No, the office was a little.
Oh, you.
It doesn't matter.
It's early. I forget things. I'm sorry. I'm glad you came and had a more friendly environment. Are you working out with us?
No, actually. We got a message in the middle of the night. Did you get something like this? And Estelle hands over the card note.
Did I get a note like they did?
Oh, no, you didn't. No, huh?
I didn't. She goes back and looks at our floor real quick. I didn't.
Well, you're coming with us anyway.
I mean, do you really think I'd miss out on the next act of our adventure story where we get to go meet the evil organization that's behind everything?
Literally, they are just kooks. They are kooky people.
That's what they want you to think.
Evil seems like a bit of a stretch, but we're going to go get Fred.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. Let's go get Fred.
So, quick question, Cody. What time is it?
Let's say it's 5 in the morning.
Okay.
Is Fred asleep right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so as you walk down to Fred's floor, which I'm going to say is pretty near the bottom because he's on a floor with, like, all of the oldest people. When you walk in, there's, like, a big common room where there's, like, 20 people doing old people calisthenics in the morning and, like, drinking coffee. There's probably, like, grandkids at this inexplicably as, like, grandparents have woken up to try to give parents a break.
The kids being up at 5 a.m. is not inexplicable, Cody. That's the most explicable thing.
For us, it is. Our kids sleep in. Burn! that was a burn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stir the bitterness in your cup.
It's okay. Cody's dead to me. Mandy, I love you.
Now on from my favorite non-Bible Bible quote. Yeah, so as you walk in, there's definitely, like, old people, like, waving at you and, like, waving you in to, like, do whatever, you know, calisthenic yoga they're all doing in a group. And there's, like, kids smashed against the window staring at you. These are the people that are awake at 5, old people and young people.
We go to Fred's door.
When you get there, you see that there's a note on the door that just says, "You should totally join us," like, you know, like in college where people would, like, write on the boards and anything. It's like, "You should join us in the common room for a good time, honey."
What?
I like the idea that the people here were so, like, really wanted to do, so they put up a whiteboard on his door so they could write on it.
Yeah. They're desperately trying to include Fred, yeah.
I think he might be busy. I'm kidding, I know he's not.
Estelle knocks on his door.
Fred, you hear a knock at your door.
5 more minutes.
Estelle knocks harder.
We don't want any.
Fred! Get up!
I'm coming. What? He opens the door. He's still in his pajamas.
Are they feety pajamas?
I wouldn't say feety pajamas.
Damn.
Good morning!
What time is it?
Early.
Yeah, that.
He looks over at the clock and I assume I have a clock. He sees what time it is. Who in the goddess's names would wake up this early?
Your entire floor, apparently?
Oh, you don't have to remind me.
They're all out there, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, we were wondering if you got a letter like this. She hands him the note.
Let me see. He reads the note and then looks around his room to see, does he have a note?
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't think I got anything like this. What is it?
Well, you're coming with us anyway. We're going to go meet the Wild Watchers, which Estelle tells us are kooks, I guess?
I promise you, they are just a little bit out there. They're the ones that are up by the lighthouse. But my guess is they want to hear about what we saw out in the wilds. I don't know why they picked a before dawn time, but that's what they chose.
I mean, I'll come with you, but I can't guarantee I'll stay awake. It is far too early for this.
We'll stop by the gardens afterwards and get some, something caffeinated.
All right, and Fred will close the door so he can get dressed, and then we'll join them.
All right. So you guys walk across, you know, the gardens off towards the lighthouse. So the lofts are kind of located near the coast. The lighthouse obviously is like on a sort of like a peninsula outreach on the coast. The waves are kind of crashing up and you can see the lighthouse is actually obscured right now, right? So you can actually see just the light spinning slowly as you guys walk up to this building. This building is sort of odd in that it is an old building that was repurposed and probably is one of the least changed buildings because its function largely is to just be tall and have a light at the top of it to keep things from crashing into the coast. So it hasn't needed a lot of updates, but as such, it is a very, very, very old building. Like, it's painted, the paint is worn, there's plants growing up on it, but it doesn't look nearly as intentional. It's close to the garden, so it kind of gets the, like, spillover of whatever's there. So it looks very archaic, this odd old building that you walk up to. When you get to the door, you can see that it is chained and locked shut.
Oh, do they, like, have a secret password that they, like, put on it? Did you, like, rub lemon juice on the back to, like, see if there's invisible ink? Or why? I'm sorry, it's a little early for me to be talking about my books, isn't it?
You seem very knowledgeable about this sort of thing.
I mean, this happens all the time in the books I read. Secret societies, that kind of thing. I think it's Estelle. I think it's just a front that they're weird. Because no one will look into them if you think they're weird.
It is too early for me to be having that as a consideration. And Estelle, like, it's like a door, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she just pounds on the door.
As you start pounding on the door, you hear a voice behind you go, "That's not gonna work, dear!"
Turn around.
You turn around and see Honey walking towards you. She's clearly in, like, workout clothes. She probably, like, has a yoga mat on her shoulder. And as she gets closer, she looks at Fred and goes, "Did you not see the note on your door?"
You guys always put notes on my door to try to get me to wake up early. And I don't want to be up this early.
"And someday, you will join all of us old people in getting limber." And then she, goes up to the door and goes, "Obviously, you have to do the secret knock." And she does, like, a really complicated series of knocks on the door.
Autumn's just, like, jabbing, like, elbowing Estelle.
How are we supposed to know what the secret knock was?
You weren't. I mean, I know. That's why I'm here, is to... You have to be shepherded in the first time. We're an illustrious secret society of old people.
Great. I'm so excited.
Autumn is so excited.
She looks at you and goes, you'll see. All right, you'll see. There's a whole ritual to this, you know." The door creaks open and, like, Autumn, to your eyes, you go like, "Oh, yeah, of course." So the man that's standing behind the door, he has a long, like, very uniform, graying, like, streaked with gray and brown beard. He has long, like, not, like, down past his shoulders, but, like, long, swept-backed gray hair. He's holding a cup of coffee in one hand and a cigarette in the other. His fingers look like they have been stained from years of just, like, drinking and smoking and staring out into nothing. And so, like, the door creaks open and he just goes, "You all must be here for the meeting."
"We are."
"Well, that's great. Well, welcome to the Wild Watchers. My name is Reuben. I see that you've already met Honey, one of our best historians."
I look over at Honey, expecting something more.
He, like, gestures with the cigarette, you know, as he, like, smokes and goes, "She knows more about this town than most people have ever forgotten. Anyways, come on in. We got a place set up for us to sit and talk for a little bit." So he holds the door open and there's, like, ancient, like, half-broken tables. They're all, like, stained and busted up, you know, and kind of, like, ushers you guys in. When you walk in, you see that he's not alone. Sheriff Mitchell is also there sitting at the table.
Autumn was very excited and she saw the sheriff and it dampened it a little bit.
The the lighthouse where this guy, like, obviously spends most of his time, right? It's sort of an odd room because it's like there's stairs spiraling up and this is clearly where he, like, lives. So, like, way off in a corner, there's, like, a bed. There's a kitchen, like, a little kitchenette in this room. And then there are just, like, piles of books called, and it's, like, all things, like, a treatise on the, like,
efficacy?
Not efficacy. That's not the word that I... It'd be like a treatise on the transcendentalness of the mind.
Okay. Existential? Is that the word you were looking
for? Yeah, like thoughts on the nature of the creative soul. Like, it's just like huge, dense books just piled everywhere with like... I mean, it doesn't make sense in this world, but it would be with the equivalent of horrifying German names, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to those of you that have been to higher education, you would look at those and go, that sucks to read. That is made out of run-on sentences and paragraphs that are 5 pages long, and there's subsections within the paragraphs, the equivalent of Kant, right? Just stacked up everywhere.
What I was going to say is, like, everyone has, like, a really long name, and the names that you can actually pronounce you're more afraid of because you actually know what are in those books. So, you know, it's like, oh, this one's Kant. It's like, oh, no, I know that one.
There's one called, like, The Metaphysics of Moon Spirits. That's on there, you know. And all of them, none of them look, like, loved and organized. These are mountains. And as he sits down, you can see he has, like, a dog-eared book already open and, like, smeared. And he just, like, sets his coffee cup on it and is still just kind of... There's just, like, a cigarette burning in his fingers. And as he ushers you down, he goes, well, all of us are here, so it's time to get started. I understand that generally Sheriff Mitchell's the one that like to talk, so I'll let him get started. So Sheriff Mitchell looks at the three of you and just goes... Is there anything I can get any of you for the time being? A drink, refreshments? I know it looks rough, but he actually can make good coffee.
No, actually, I kind of just want you to get started because I want to know why you're here.
He looks around and goes, I'm here because I'm a member of the Wild Watchers, obviously.
Yeah, again, I want to hear why you're here.
And, Reuben goes, he's our youngest member, but he's active. And then Honey goes, he's our best looking member, too. And she winks. And,
Hey, Sheriff Mitchell there. Remind me, I just don't want to forget. Remind me, I think I owe you a punch or something at some point. Just don't let me forget.
He just looks at you and goes, we'll get to that. Anyways, pressing business first.
Juliet raises her hand.
Are we being serious with the head? This isn't a class. He used to be a professor, but it didn't work out. He, like, points at,
Reuben.
At Reuben. What?
I was hoping that we could maybe start off with what you all do as an organization.
Actually, first, could I get a cup of coffee? Like,
Reuben just goes, yeah, I'll take care of it. And he stands up and grabs, like, you know, a cup and starts filling the coffee. And the sheriff just kind of, like, looks around dejectedly and just goes, okay, I'll start from the beginning. The Wild Watchers have been in Smoky Banks for who knows how long, at least quite a while. We don't necessarily keep our names in a book, but generally what we are... people who have taken the time to pay attention to the fact that Smoky Banks is measurably weird. Now, I know, Estelle, you grew up here, so this is not going to come as a great big shock to you, but the people of Smoky Banks can be superstitious. And that brings with it a certain problem, which is, I get the calls, right? Every time a certain moon is in the sky, every time it rains too hard, every time there's a little bit too much smoke, every time someone new comes to town, I get a call for boogeymen, for wood elves, for fairies, for monsters, for... I mean, the number of sea monsters that we have, the number of... I cannot... I have files of reports on people seeing every single creature that you can possibly describe. But the thing is, 9 times out of 10, that's nothing. And then Honey pipes up, so what I've concerned myself with for the latter half of my life, really, is What about the 1%? And more importantly, do we get more than the typical number of calls an eco-herb might get? So look at it this way. Let's say in a year, any eco-herb might get 100 calls for monsters, right? Someone's gonna call their sheriff, call who's ever the emergency response, and say they saw something weird, right? And generally those are fake. The problem is that Smokey Banks gets 1,000% more calls about stuff like that than anywhere else. And this is where, as Sheriff Mitchell said, the Wild Watchers come in. We try to keep track of the number of actual, somewhat, I don't want to say supernatural, but let's say extra-natural sightings or events that happen in the town. Now, history gets a little weird the farther you go back. You know, there were times when the eco-herbs were less stable. This eco-herb has always kind of been on the fringe, so our records aren't that great. But since I have been keeping track, not only have I discovered that Smokey Banks sees an unbelievably high number of reported odd sightings, we also have, of any eco-herb, the highest number of missing persons, property damage, and, frankly, deaths of any eco-herb that go totally unsolved. These aren't murders. We actually have relatively low crime. I mean, crime exists, sure. But random deaths, random disappearances. It's not enough that people are raising a fuss every time, but if in a given year, maybe you'd
Why not? It sounds like those numbers are shocking.
They are, only if you look at them in aggregate. Think about a year. Let's say a regular eco-herb, it's grim, right? 5 people go missing a year. It happens. At a population our size, you might expect every year we have 10 deaths due to people falling off of something, getting attacked by some wild animal. That's always going to happen. Sharks exist, right? Now imagine if in a population our size, you'd expect that number to be on average 10. For us, it's on average 100. That's still not that many.
That's so many!
It's maybe 100. 100's actually probably high. Let's say 50. It's not that many, but it's like we have 3 times more than is typical. It's not every day, and it's not always that bad. But it's also not at all uncommon. And it begs a question. Why? Why is it that we have more unexplained disappearances and death and damage than anywhere else?
Well, based on your statistical approximation, Sheriff Mitchell, it sounds like if you get 100 reports and 9 times out of 10, it's not something like some supernatural monster. That means that you're getting 10 supernatural creature sightings a year, which is about 1 a month, which is kind of a lot.
A lot. More than it should be, for sure. And it's been that way since I've been sheriff. And at this point, Reuben sits down and slides the cup over and he goes, "It's been that way here for longer than you can imagine. It's always been like that. Now, people have always said that us," he like gestures at himself, "the people that run this lighthouse, the people that spend all of our nights awake staring into nothingness, are crazy. And that might be the case. But more importantly, what you gotta think, what if we're not? See, half of them reports that Sheriff Mitchell over there says is nothing is something, because I've seen them. Here's the important one, right? The storm that damaged our town quite horribly. The one that rolled in out of nowhere. I've seen hurricanes before. They're my job to report. I've watched them roll in from way up there, slowly watching damage fly towards us. It came from the land. That makes no sense. Why would a storm that big gather over no body of water? It's never happened before that bad. That's odd. And more importantly, I saw something in it. Something huge and moving. Something that I caught just in the sweeping of the light. That's odd. Now, maybe that's another one of those 9 out of 10 fake reports. Maybe it's real. But if it is, the question becomes, now we've had 2 back-to-back things happen within like 2 weeks of each other. There was them things what you dealt with, that Sheriff Mitchell got all bent out of shape about, and now there's some giant thing that walked in bringing a storm with it.
All right, so what do we do?
Well, that's the part you're not going to like. My answer is we stop poke. Okay, now look, I want to say I apologize. I was very upset when you came back to town, and that's fair to point out. I had no right to blame everything on you, and I could have been clear with all of you about why it is that I caution people not to go into the wilds. And I will also say why it is that I am very hesitant to go looking for people that might have gotten lost. All right? You have to understand that looking over my whole career, and this is going to sound sad to say aloud, those were not the first kids that have gone missing in the wild. And I have, at times, tried to go and find people that have gone missing in the wilds. And every single time that has resulted in more death than accepting that it happens. So, I have to sit here and balance. Do I try to put together a posse of people that have no idea what they're doing and wander out into the woods and get killed? Or do I go, I warn people, and I get ignored a lot about caution? Anyways, let's back up, though. In terms of my hesitance to go out in the wild, what I am concerned about is that somehow us being out there is aggravating the wilds themselves. It's not one thing. It's not like every single report I get is glowing dogs. It varies. I mean, I am not kidding with you. I have had reports of a vampire. Multiple, somewhat corroborated reports of a vampire. Like, the typical, like, from books one, like, two needles in the neck, people drained of blood, that's happened. It just stopped happening eventually. I don't know why.
Juliet looks at Autumn. Was that one in one of your books?
I mean, several. Like, yeah, vampires are kind of a thing.
I thought about garlic.
Me and Caitlin looked at each other.
I thought about garlic. Yes, I do want to say it, that you and Caitlin did hilariously look at each other on camera.
I also want to point out when Ruben was talking, Cody was like touching his temple with a pencil when saying crazy, and it was hilarious, and no one got to witness it. I disagree with you. However, the thing I want to say is, it doesn't seem to matter if we ignore the wilds or not. Like, these kids didn't wander into the wilds. The wilds wandered into here and took those kids.
That's what I was going to bring up, because if you're so concerned about things that are getting into the eco-herb, I mean, okay, realistically, we have about 3 places that things can be getting in. We've got the entire ocean. We've got up by the ruins, and we've got the river where the boat comes in.
That's true. That's true.
If why are we not looking at trying to, you know, make those areas stronger holds? You know, why are we not looking into? I mean, I completely disagree with you. But if this is the concern, why are we not looking into making that, closing up some of those areas?
Technically, I agree with you. And this is why we don't necessarily meet out in the open and talk about this too much yet, because we're trying to put together enough information to convince people. So here's the deal. I think that the ruins should be permanently closed, and that we should be, like, building stronger barriers around the town. I think that generally most of my reports come near the ruins or seem to be sourced from there. The cases of incidents are much higher closer to the ruins, or people saying they saw things around there. Generally, I think it should be closed off. Here's the issue. And it gets into membership. So, our lovely and somewhat famous professor, Marlin, Professor Marlin, Doc Marlin, as he is well known and famous for, is not okay with that. And neither is most of the town. Kind of most of the reason this town is here is because of those ruins. They're a huge point of academic interest, but they also, to me, seem to be dangerous. So my thing is, stop going there. See if that maybe decreases the number of incidents we have. Because as I see it, we're weakening a border here by allowing things to constantly wander in and interact with that. The good doctor is sort of a member of this organization. He is unfortunately extremely knowledgeable, and as such is invaluable to us when we're trying to determine what might be causing things and the truth of reports that we get. He can actually do some kind of scientific research on creatures that seem to be straying in. So what people call a vampire might just be a rather large bat that does actually drink blood. That could be as simple as, okay, there's a new species of bat or bird around here. That's not that weird, actually. But that's why he is at times very useful to us. However, he really likes sending people out into the wilds. People kind of like you.
At this point, when there's like a little bit of silence, you can kind of very faintly hear a bit of snoring coming from Fred's direction.
Juliet elbows him.
He looks over at Fred and goes, yeah, that seems about right.
Well, would it be possible to... I realize this would take a lot of infrastructure, perhaps, and I'm not sure if Smoky Banks would have the resources, but maybe constructing some sort of light barrier. It's maybe more common in the Symbiurbs, but it could be a useful addition here.
What I would hope to start with is convincing people to just stop going near the ruins. But that has gone...
That's not going to happen.
Poorly for... Yeah, exactly. Now, exactly. Because here's the thing. I'm just very nervous about what exists out there in the wild. And now this is where some of the members of us disagree. I tend to think there is something that we, and frankly Doc Marlin, have yet to explain out there. All right? I don't think we're just getting random weird animals. I think there's something more to it with that. And that terrifies me, because...
It's the moon people.
What?
The moon people.
Now, I'm going to need you to explain what you mean by the moon people.
So we, like, a few days out from Smoky Banks, there's, well, was a settlement of people who said they're from the moon? Well,
okay, we did not meet anyone. Let me be very clear here. We did not meet anybody else. Well, we did not meet anybody else out there.
Other than the kids. But we found what was left of a settlement, and it seemed like it came from the moon?
How do you know that the settlement came from the moon?
They had these, like... Time out real quick. We don't have computers in this world, do we?
You have the beginnings of them. They're not as common.
So it's like what we saw was like sci-fi stuff, basically.
Yeah, it would be really weird.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I start describing it really weird. So it's like I know what a computer is, you know.
You know what? You would not be that blown away by the notion that a machine might be able to display text, but the way it was doing it was very outlandish to you. It was.
I kind of imagine it as like we're in like 90s Mac computers, and like that was like touch screen, like hollow.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, like you guys are very, very, very far back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because we don't have household radios yet, do we?
No.
So we're
like... There's, like, rudimentary tablets, but it's for, like, text input and text retrieval.
So we saw these things that were, like, screens that you could touch, and it would pull up information and data, and we could type into it, and it would pull
up... We could talk to the house? We talked to the house, and the house talked back.
I'm just saying...
It sounds crazy.
You met a living house out in the wild?
It sounds crazy when I say that. That's not... the most scientific way, and she, like, rummages around in her backpack. I have a full description of our sightings.
So, the sheriff starts to reach for it, and then Reuben immediately grabs it and is just, like, reading rapidly through it. He's like, now this is fascinating and represents an interesting possibility in different ways of retrieving. Do you know how many books you might be able to store or retrieve at a single time in something like this?
I'm hoping that Reuben invents ebooks. That's my hope for the whole campaign, is Reuben just develops ebook technology.
And as he's reading, he's like, now this is exactly how people end up getting tempted out there to go out into the wilds and see fascinating things like this. And I understand that is how it happens. But I am fascinated by this.
And that's why I'm proposing some sort of deterrent around the ruins to separate the danger from the tourists who rightly want to see the main attraction of one of the main attractions of Smoky Banks.
Honey reaches over and pats you on the hand and goes, dear, I think the thing you are missing is
You're kind of the tourist. We're trying to deter all of you. That's you're who we're trying to deter. We're just explaining why.
Oh, right. Right.
I guess technically not Estelle, but the rest of you, and even her, because, you know. Anyways, mostly we're trying to deter all of you.
Inviting me to a secret organization is not the way to do that.
So are we just lucky that you brought us in to talk to us, or do you talk to everyone who goes out into the wild?
Oh, well, okay, that's complicated. That's a very good question. Generally, we do not have this much trouble with that many people. Most people can kind of just be like, hey, stay away, don't go out there at night. That tends to help. A lot of the actual serious problems that we have are when people wander too far, wander there at night. That's when we have the most frequent issues. So we try to discourage people in that way, and that has been somewhat effective. Now, I will say, there has been a recent increase in amount of activity and how bold that activity is from things coming out of the wild, and that is part of the concern. Now, Mal has been typically the other person that has been problematic for us, because on the one hand, similarly to the good doctor, she's quite knowledgeable, but on the other hand, she would not stay put. So, you know, we had one person who would typically ignore us and wander out into the wilds to do whatever, and now we have four, kind of five.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Maul, is she still locked up, Mitchell?
Mitchell looks kind of frustrated and goes,
she is hard to lock up, as it happens. She is missing. Now, I don't think she's missing like the kids were. I tried to go have a conversation with her about not encouraging people to wander off and that one of her was more than enough. I cannot lie and say that there were never times when she was extremely beneficial to both the Wild Watchers and me as the sheriff, and I don't want to pretend like she was never extremely helpful. But not always a team player. Went to have a decent conversation with her, was my hope. Thought we were just gonna hash things out, talk about not making more of her. And by the time I got to her house, everything was gone. She had clearly packed up quite a lot and taken off, so I have no idea where she is.
Honestly, based on everything that I've heard about her, that doesn't surprise me.
It should not. It really shouldn't.
Was her house full of stuff? Because I will say I am a little impressed.
So decidedly no. She's a pretty minimal person, actually, and, but what small number of, you know, whatever hiking tools she always seemed to have with her were gone.
Okay, so what's the point of bringing us here? Is this just to tell us off and say, hey, don't do that again?
No, not exactly. Okay, so here's sort
of... Wait, quick question.
Hmm.
Did anyone die in the storm?
Yes. Not a huge number, but yes, there were fatalities due to the storm. Like, quite a lot, not, I'd say quite a lot, but mostly in Old Town. But the damage to the newer structures in town were also significant. It was pretty bad. So here's the deal. I kind of can surmise that telling all of you never go in the wilds again will likely not work.
No.
And I understand that. Here's my point. What we are trying to work out amongst us, he gestures to the table at hand, is what is happening with the wilds, and is it anything more than just somehow there are more new animals than anywhere else in the world, seemingly, and that those new animals are crazy? It seems like something else is going on, but from what we've seen, most of it can technically be explained by Doc Marlin. Now, here is the tricky part,
and the part that I am somewhat nervous to bring up. We are currently down one member, ever since Otis has gone missing. Now, Dr. Otis was the member of the Wild Watchers who would occasionally wander out into the wilds. He did so very carefully. He didn't do it unsanctioned like Maul. He didn't do it for money. He did it when, on occasion, we decided there was a need to go out and determine what was happening in the wilds. You might have said he is the person that probably would have gone and found those missing kids, you know, in the case of them going missing. He went missing. This is why we are very hesitant to encourage people to go out in the wild, because we had a guy. He's gone. The other person is Mal. She, albeit useful, is a grave robber. So I'm stuck in a very awkward position of, we have an opening.
As his replacement, I accept.
I do too.
Let's call it a temporary understanding, not an offer for membership.
Reuben, like, looks over at the sheriff and then back at all of you and goes, I don't see what he's making such a fuss about. As far as I'm concerned, y'all can be members if you want to be members. And he takes a sip of coffee and goes, frankly, I'm sick of all of us being so old. It gives us a certain kind of reputation of being fuddy-duddies or, what's the right word for it? What it is that most people think we're crazy old people, and I'm getting tired of that perception. Now, all of you might bring a certain degree of youthful relevance to all of us. All you.
You need crazy young people.
Exactly. And, you know, you're an outside perspective, all that stuff. And also, frankly, I'm sick of all these old people being the only ones that come to the meetings.
I mean, I already said I'm in.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the people that have the knowledge out there aren't exactly team players. And I'm willing to be a team player here if it means that we're figuring out what's going on.
Juliet elbows Fred.
What's up?
Say you're a team player. We're all being team players.
What about being a team player?
You're a team player.
Sure I am.
She whispers to Fred, you need to punch Sheriff Mitchell.
Oh, right. Sheriff, come here, I gotta punch you.
Not yet, let's...
Honey reaches over and, like, pats Fred on the arm and goes, don't worry, dear. We'll have plenty of time to explain what it means to be a team player when you actually start coming to aerobics class in the morning with me. She, like, winks and goes, I'll wake you up tomorrow morning, don't worry.
The sheriff goes, whatever the membership looks like, whatever. Frankly, we don't necessarily have, like, a president of this. It's not that formal of an organization, but here's the deal. What I need from all...
I could write up bylaws if you wanted.
Huh?
I could write up bylaws if you wanted. I'm very good at that sort of thing.
I feel like we're a secret society. It feels weird to have bylaws of a secret...
Being secret is no reason not to be organized.
Well, no. Now, see, you got to write stuff down, because then if you don't write stuff down, someone's going to come after you about the stuff you didn't write down.
Or that.
He just kind of looks around and goes, I miss when we just had a secret knock and...
No, Juliet, we can't have bylaws in a secret organization. They're called oaths and we have to swear them, preferably with blood.
I prefer to keep my blood in my body.
You just cut your hand. This happens all the time. It's normal. So you write up your laws.
We're not swearing blood oaths. We're not doing that. And then Reuben just goes, oh, hold on one second. I've always wondered. There's a long and interesting history of a monastic tradition of swearing blood oaths in the moonlight. Hang on one second for me. And he goes over and starts rustling through a drawer and comes back with, like, a steak knife. And he's like, all right, who's going first?
Autumn starts to put her hand out. Wait, she hasn't written the oaths yet, though. Don't we need those?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely a prerequisite here.
He goes over to a desk and pull, like, there are stacks of paper covered in writing. I mean, and he, like, shoves them over and pulls out a piece of paper that only has writing on one side. And it's, like, his notes on the Treatise of the Human Spirit by some dude. And it's got, like, an ancient date written on it. And he's like, all right, anyways, and he comes back over and sets that on the table and just, like, hands you a dried out ballpoint pen and is like, all right, get to it. We'll work on this here in a second. And it's just like, go ahead.
Autumn just looks at Juliet very expectantly, like waiting for her to write the bylaws.
I mean, it's a process that can be quite lengthy. So in the meantime, maybe we do a little bit more search and rescue, especially since not all our members are here, and we'd want them to all be apprised of the situation.
Honey kind of, like, looks around at all of this happening and goes, I think the point that the poor sheriff here was trying to make was, if you go out into the wilds, here's the number one thing. Seek to, as much as possible, keep the wilds in the wild. Realistically, and this was unfair of the sheriff to imply, we have no reason to think what you did had anything to do with a giant wandering near town and a huge storm blowing in. But we do want to be very careful to kind of like bring nothing back, because we have no idea what stuff from the wilds might do to our town. And it has been definitely a source of danger and destruction in the town to have random things from the wild wandering in.
Juliet looks kind of sheepish.
So what you're saying is, though, is we're one of, like, the positives that, like, didn't result in more death by going out into the wilds, then.
At the moment, I have no reason to for sure assume that you going out into the wilds has caused damage. If I'm being honest, what keeps me up at nights is the notion that somehow us going out there at all aggravates, and I understand this is not scientifically grounded. This is anxiety. It's paranoia. I get that. I understand there's not a rational thing that I'm saying here. I'm telling you how I feel. What keeps me up at night is the notion that because of where we are, and because we are close to the wilds, and I do think there's something unexplained out there, us going out there is kind of an invitation for something to come back. Not saying there's a direct, immediate relation between the two things. I'm saying there is definitely a part of me that wants to stick my head in the sand.
You suspect an equal and opposite reaction, so to speak.
Yes, which, like I said, I understand doesn't make sense, really, but I'm paranoid.
Well, you said Smoky Banks are a superstitious lot.
You're absolutely right, and I count myself among them. You're not wrong. Just means understand that the reason I am pushy about it is because generally then I'm the person getting woken up with calls of boogeymans in the night. Generally, they're nothing, but every once in a while, they aren't. And I'm the person that gets the call on the radio every single time anyone has a boogeyman, which means, you know, for everyone else, it happens once in a lifetime, and they tell stories about it. I hear about it every night.
Noted. Well, I think we can be more cognizant of our footprint in the wild, so to speak, and do better with that.
That's, I guess, all I can ask for at the moment.
Well, good. That's settled, then.
And, what's her name? Gosh. Honey, like, wraps a cup on the table and goes, I hereby call this meeting to a close. You know, we all got work to do, so I understand we've got places to be. And as everyone's, like, getting up and everything, Reuben goes, oh, I almost forgot. We gotta give you your patches if you're members now. And he, like, goes over to her drawer and opens it up and comes back with, like, little sew-on patches that have that symbol of a leaf and a lighthouse and an eye. And he goes, easy, y'all, secret society membership patches. We had them made a while back, and we've had very little reason to give them out. So, count yourselves lucky. There's only, what, the three of us that have them, one guy that's lost, and all four of you.
Thank you. How do you have patches and not a president?
So what happened was, when we first started this thing, well, I should say, when I took over, when all the other members got so old that they stopped showing up, and I started looking for new people, Honey had already been kind of keeping track of everything, and Sheriff Mitchell seemed pretty wise. So I went out and got patches made because I was real excited and at the time a lot more motivated. Then kind of no one joined and things sort of just got left. But I thought they was cool.
Are we allowed to display these?
Yeah, I mean, people generally just...
Well, because we're a secret society, though. Like, shouldn't people not know about us?
Yeah, but I mean, people don't know what it means unless you tell them. The symbol. You just can't tell people everything that we might tell you here, like that people that live here are 10 times more likely to die violently. Not a thing we just generally go around telling everybody all the time. Hey, we've done a lot of research. Turns out 1 out of 10 boogeymans is real. People would panic. So we try to avoid that.
Got it. Yes.
So as he gives you the patches, he goes, and by the way, we meet once a week in the morning this time. So, you know, come back next week.
Oh, does it have to be this early?
He looks at you and goes, I want you to understand the limited amount of time I am not sleeping. I spend 16 hours a day staring at the ocean waiting for horrible things to blow in. This is the only time I am awake and not up there. And I spend it drinking coffee and smoking my cigarette. So it's a very limited time that I have to enjoy myself that I take for this.
I now think that he drinks 1 cup of coffee and smokes 1 cigarette a week. And that is like his addiction. It's just like he needs his 1 cigarette a week. And
why is he drinking 1 cup of coffee right before he goes to bed?
Do you want to ask him that?
Yeah, sure.
He just looks at you and goes, I am the coffee.
Oh, so this character is just Cody's self-insert now.
This character is a combination of a philosophy professor my brother sent me and a character from Trailer Park Boys.
What a mashup.
All right, we leave.
So you all wander out. At this point now, literally an hour has gone by and people are actually waking up and working in the gardens. And as you all are walking back, Sheriff Mitchell kind of like taps Estelle on the shoulder and goes, could we talk for a moment?
Oh, right. I forgot I stole you a punch. I'll do it later.
She looks at you and goes, wait until right now. It wouldn't be fair. Wait until you're awake. I have gloves. We can make it official.
Sure, Mitchell, let's talk.
As the other three of us are walking away, you just hear Autumn slamming, like, this is the best day ever, like, going over every, like, I drank secret society coffee.
The sheriff watches the rest of them walk away and just kind of goes, you know, I do actually have boxing gloves, and I'm kind of thinking that might be a fun idea.
Estelle slaps him.
He just goes, maybe I should have saved the boxing gloves for you?
Why did you let Matthew join your little team?
Well, that is actually what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah.
How's Matthew doing?
He's doing fine. He seems to be recovering okay.
Okay.
Did you, like, put him through any training?
Absolutely not, and I have to say...
And you just let him go into a building?
I did. Yes, I did. Matthew was aware of what he was doing and is technically an adult. He can make his own choices.
That's great. You took someone who didn't have any idea of what they were doing and sent them into a building that was falling.
Yep. I did that. And here's the thing.
Look, Matthew can make his own choices. I'm not happy about it, okay? But if you're gonna send someone into a building that's falling, maybe, I don't know, run them through a training exercise or something.
I will say, given how well Matthew did, he didn't need a training exercise, he was...
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, considering he's hurt.
Shockingly good at it, and he saved a number of people. Here's the thing, Estelle, and this isn't fair. But it's true. I can understand a building falling down, and I understand the risk of sending, yes, a wild and reckless... Here's the thing. There are not that many people willing to run into a collapsing building. You get to be as old as I am, and no one is willing to run into a building. The only people I can get competently to run into buildings when things are going wrong are generally... 16 to 22-year-olds who think that they're invincible. That's the only people I can get to do it. So, yeah, Matthew was in the right place at the right time to help the town, and I understood the risk I was asking him to take.
and I would ask him to do it again. And I understand you're worried about him, but I also think you should be incredibly proud of him. He did that without ever having really lived here much. He showed up without me asking him to, and immediately started doing the most dangerous things, which I understand as a parent is probably pretty bad, but he did save a lot of people.
I am always incredibly proud of him, but that does not stop me from being extremely upset with you for sending him in there without anything.
I mean, he did have the same kit of emergency response equipment that all of us have.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad. That makes it so much better.
Estelle, if he's going to live here, he's going to make his own choices on these things. I didn't force him to do it. He showed up. He volunteered.
Okay, that's great. Great. Okay, look. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy with him deciding to do that, okay? I'm not.
I understand.
You sent him in with nothing.
I did. And I think I would probably do it again. Which I understand isn't great, but I'm not the only one that I can't take care of the whole town by myself.
No, and I don't think you should have to. But I don't know. Maybe come up with like a training regimen or something. Something to actually teach these kids what they're gonna do.
He kinda like looks at you and goes, Are you gonna do a training regimen for going out into the wilds here, now that you know that there are literally monsters?
What do you think I was doing when I was in the symbiobes?
Was it like this? Was it like what you've seen in Smoky Banks?
No, it's a little bit different, but that doesn't mean that I don't have the skills I need to go out there.
Honestly,
that's what I'm saying, is you didn't hand him any skills. You didn't teach him anything about going into a building that was falling.
I don't know how to teach the town how to deal with the fact that we live here. I think that if Matthew's gonna live here, this is probably going to happen again. And I don't know how to train him. That, you know how I said I have, like, anxiety about this? This is why. I don't think most sheriffs in towns this size have to deal with this the way that I do. I don't. Because I don't know how to train people for living here. I agree with you. Honestly, the thing is, I agree. I do think that we probably need to equip the town to handle itself better, given the fact that last week, dogs were stealing kids that were huge. Huge dogs stealing kids. This week, we had a storm trash the town. And I don't know how to train people to handle that, because I don't know how to handle that. I wasn't expecting to need volunteers to go and rush into... We've never had a storm like this before. Like, we've had storms blowing off the ocean, it happens, but never like this. That building's been there since before the symbiobes. I didn't know it was going to be collapsing. We've never had training for what to do in the case of building collapse.
Well, if you're going to have a team of kids, then maybe you should contact some of the other symbiobes and see what the symbiobes or the other eco-herbs and see how they are... Because I get it, Mitchell. You're one guy, and it's not easy to do what you're doing with what Smoky Banks is right now. But there's got to be... other places have more than one person. Maybe they have ideas on how you can make it so that you're not alone out here.
He sighs and goes, I can check, but I can check on how other people that maybe live in an area that has an eco-herb that is less safe geographically, how they handle it, but I don't necessarily think there's going to be, and I understand, again, this is not backed up scientifically. I legit think that there is something paranormal out in the woods that we are dealing with, and I don't know who can help us with that. I think Mal was probably our best choice, and she left.
That's part of the reason I want to be going out there. I want to know when those Blighthounds are getting too close and we need to do something about it. I think what you need to do for the town is figure out how to teach these kids to deal with just emergencies that we deal with. A house falling. A fire. We can figure out what the wild emergency training is after that. But that's why I want to be out there. I want to be the person that's going to tell you things are getting too close and we need to be worried about something.
You can see he's just kind of like looking down and clearly thinking.
You know, the Wild Watchers for a long time, and I understand that there's kind of two parts of this conversation, right? That on the one hand, we live near something magical and terrifying, and that your son was sort of caught up in that, but also, like, if people are going to volunteer to do dangerous things, they should have some kind of training. Here's my point. For a long time, the Wild Watchers operated secretly because, well, on the one hand, most people do think we're nuts. That's true. Even given the data to the contrary, people kind of think we're a little kooky. But the other half of that is, yeah, a desire on my part to not terrify the people in this town with the kind of factual knowledge that there is something dangerous out there, but I don't know what it is. Maybe that does need to change. I honestly don't know. And I also don't know if I'm the right person to make that call. But it does mean that pretty regularly people in this town are asked to deal with something that is unfair to ask them to deal with. Because there's something unfair out there that we're dealing with. But I take your point. I do. I think that for a long time my goal has been to, I don't want to say hide this from people, but kind of to protect them from it kind of means to keep them separate from it.
I don't think we need to tell people unless it's going to be affecting them.
I think it's affecting them. I don't, you know, this has been two really bad weeks, but I mean, a giant thing wandered past town and we had a storm destroy half the town. I think it's affecting them. I think you're right.
Right, well, I'm gonna go get my garden work done.
Just goes, alright, do let me know how Matthew is doing, and again, I mean, I know you're mad, and I know you're mad at me, but, oh boy. He did help a lot. He is... I think he can sometimes come off kind of, like, aloof and flippant. He showed up when it counted. He did. He's... I'm glad he's here. Really, I'm glad both of you are here.
I'm very glad to hear that he was helpful, even if I'm not particularly happy about how he was helpful.
I do think... You know how you're like, I'm happy he was helpful, but I wish he wasn't doing that? It's kind of how I feel about you running off into the wilds to save kids. Like, I'm glad you're helpful, and you really are, but I really wish you also weren't doing that. Because I don't... I can understand a damaged building. I cannot understand what is happening out in the wilds. But I also think those are quickly becoming the same thing, because I think the wilds damaged our buildings.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off with that.
He, like, hears something squawk on the big old radio that he carries with him and just goes, alright, well, the boogeymen are starting early today. Got a lot of reports of weird bugs! I guess I gotta go look at a bug.
You have fun with that.
And he, like, starts walking off. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.